Today on Real Radio.
That's why cults are so dangerous. Cults are religious groups that tell lies. That's why, by the way, every cult justifies lying. They say it's okay to lie. Look, this is how they phrase it. It's okay to lie to people if you get them to join our club. Then it's good. And if you think I'm making it up, then you need to find out about cults. And it should be no wonder, because Satan's the father of lies.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his topical series on the Ten Commandments. Now, commandment number 9 says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." In other words, you shouldn't lie. We're seeing in this study by Pastor Jack that not only is lying a transgression, but it's got to be among the worst because of the far-reaching damage that it causes. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more on the 9th commandment.
God doesn't take this lightly. James 1:26, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is in vain or useless." Where does lying come from? Number 2, it comes from a desperate soul. When we're desperate, we're tempted to lie. It comes from unbelief when we're desperate of soul. Unbelief is not having that faithfulness to trust in God. We, in fact, become faithless at that moment. When we lie, we're not trusting God to take care of us. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5 says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he'll bring it to pass." If we don't trust him, we will lie. An example, police officer pulls you over. And you say, "Officer, I don't, what's wrong? You were speeding." "Oh, moi? Oh, I'm sorry, my speedometer must be broke. Or I didn't know I was lying, I mean speeding." Listen, you're busted. The Lord sent the cop to pull you over. Did you know that? You say, "I don't believe that." Read Romans 13 and weep. God says he's ordained the cop to pull you over. And the Bible says don't resist him. You receive that ticket. "Thank you, officer. Give it here. Lay it on." I mean, don't do that literally. He might give you more than what you deserve. But listen. "Officer, I'm not going to try to talk my way out of this ticket. I wasn't even paying attention. I didn't even realize how fast I was going until I saw your light come on. Then I looked. I'm guilty." To resist is to lie. Imagine if police officers got to deal with that today. In fact, you know what? All around town, for that matter, all around LA, Orange, San Bernardino County, Riverside County, you can't go anywhere without seeing this church's sticker on the back of people's windows. It's a sad day if you see a car going down the street with a sticker on the back of the car and red lights following it. "Hey, pull over, man. We got a high-speed pursuit. Turn on the TV." And it's got our sticker on the car. "Pull over, man." Oh, what a witness. It comes from a desperate soul. Lying comes from a desperate soul. It also comes from an insecure life. This is painful. Far too many people today see, or should I say they don't see, their own value and their own worth. And I can't get into all the reasons why that might be so. My heart goes out to you, but I need to announce to you tonight, with all love, I mean this. You may lie about your life because you don't see that your life really has value, so you've got to pump up your life. You got to say things about your life that's not true because you don't think your life's worth anything. I'm sorry that you think that way, but God would say to you tonight, you need to stop that. You need to stop sucking your thumb, stand up, put your big boy pants on, and believe God. Because an insecure soul, an insecure life, is a person that has to embellish even the truth. They got to make the truth bigger because they don't see the truth being big enough. Because they want the impress factor, the wow factor. Somebody will say, six of us climbed Mount Everest the other day. And the person who's insecure will say, oh yeah, seven of us climbed it last year. A person who's insecure in life and not trusting God, they will lie about their achievements. I literally know a man who, and this is amazing, I don't even know how this can happen. This guy lied his entire life through school. He lied to get his jobs, his careers, his employment, and he was working for some of America's most notable names you've ever heard in the areas of science and engineering. He was naturally smart, very sharp, but he never got a degree from MIT. He never even went there. But he would write it down, and those massive industries never checked, and he lived a lie. And when he was found out, it destroyed everything. A lot of people live like that because it comes from an insecure life, and there's a lot of insecure people today. And I want you to know something. Every human being, you and me, if we don't see our value in the Lord and how much he loves you and what he thinks about you, I don't care how many achievements you have, it will never be enough until you see yourself and the Lord being happy in love with you. Amen. That his love for you is so amazing that you don't have to pump it up. You always have to outdo someone. You always have to outsay something. You always have to have the last word. Take a deep breath and unplug from your view of life and relax. It's okay. But it certainly is lying. It comes from an insecure life. Number three tonight, the ninth commandment. What happens when a lie is told? So it's just a lie. Did you lie to your sister? Did you lie to your little brother? Did you lie to, it's just a lie, people will say. No, listen, number one thing, you'll never be getting victory over a lie unless you understand this one thing. We sin against God when we lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. But remember, your neighbor was created in the image of God. And he says, we're lying against God. To sin against God is to misrepresent him. And the human body, by the way, exhibits evidence, as I said earlier, when we lie. There's no hiding from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16, verse 8, and when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me, and of righteousness, because I go to my Father. The Holy Spirit knows. And listen, it is a very, very sad day, very dangerous day when you could look at somebody. In fact, I told you guys this before, but it's been years, I think, since I've said it. So let me say it again. When you're involved in biblical counseling or biblical guidance with people, you always look at them in the face when you're talking with them and when they're talking to you, and you do your best to look them right in the eye at all times. If you're counseling a couple, you always, always look in the eyes of the woman regarding the couple, always, hands down. This is a very sad indictment on humanity. If you ask a couple, for example, they're They're engaged now, and we tell them, okay, great, we're happy that you're going to be getting married. You guys are Christians, and we don't want to know anything about your past regarding this issue, but starting right here, right now, for the next 6 months, before we marry you, we want you to keep yourself sexually pure. If you can't control yourself now, you won't be able to control yourself when he's in Chicago for 2 weeks, or he won't be able to control himself. And if your relationship's built on sex, it's going to fall apart. So can she be faithful? Can you be faithful? Can you control your bodies? Do you guys agree? Yes. All right. So then you start your premarital counseling. And with every meeting, you ask, hey, how you guys doing? We're doing great. Super. Okay, man, you guys are 2.5 months into this. This is awesome. Okay, next page, next booklet. How many kids do you want to have? Where are you going to, after you get married, where are you going to live? What happens if you get pregnant? Who's going to? It's fun stuff, man. It's fun to see them thinking, we never thought of that. And you always ask them. You always just drop the bomb somewhere in that hour. So you guys keeping yourself pure? You look right at her. So you guys having sex? He goes like this. Dude, we're clean, man. Oh, it's driving me crazy, but we're hanging in there. And she goes like this. You know. Isn't it amazing? She doesn't say a thing. Her eyes lie. And Bonehead next to her, things are great, man! Of course things are great. For him. Amazing, isn't it? The human body speaks. And you young people tonight, parents know. Parents have. Extra set of eyes. It is true, though. It is amazing. We sin against God. The Bible says in Numbers 32:23, take note, for you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure of this, your sin will find you out. There's no getting away. There's no running from this. There's a way to avoid it. You want to hear how? Now, you can't say, yes, tell me, Pastor, because your wife will say, what are you doing that you need to know the answer to this? Listen, everybody, this is fantastic. The Bible says, be sure of this, your sin will find you out. The only way that you can stop your sin from being broadcast to the universe is to repent. Is to go to God now and say, God, this sin that's plaguing my soul, my life, please forgive me, Lord God, give me the power to never do it again. Jesus, I sinned against you. This sin put you on the cross, and I own it. Please, Lord, forgive me. And walk away. Jesus said, go and sin no more. That's what he meant. Go and don't do this again. Guess what? You can take out Numbers 32:23. You don't have to worry about it. That's only true if you persist in it. Then God in his mercy says, okay, Gabriel, Michael, will you bring the neon lights and shine it on that guy's face and put his name up in the sky? God doesn't delight in doing that. But because he loves you, he'll bust you. Secondly, we sin against others. What happens when we tell a lie? And when a lie is told, we sin against not only God, we sin against others. We send them off with a falsehood when we lie to them. We send them on their way. We've lied to them. We send them walking away thinking something else is not true. That's a form of deception. We misrepresent them. We've not only represented God when we sin against God, we misrepresent people when we put a false thing in their heart and mind by lying to them. Imagine giving someone, for example, the wrong directions. You're in the middle of Siberia, and somebody pulls them and says, hey, which way is Moscow? Or the nearest gas station, for that matter. Oh, it's over there, thinking it's funny. I just recently heard, by the way, this summer, I forget where it was, maybe you remember, but there are some youth that are being tried in court because they changed signs on a lonely highway and it wound up killing someone. That's exactly what, they lied. They never met the people. They never said a word to them. They just switched the sign around and sent them in the wrong direction and they wound up running out of gas and burning up in the desert. Wow. Miss Murder. Isn't that amazing? You can sin against others by telling a lie. That's why cults are so dangerous. Cults are religious groups that tell lies. That's why, by the way, every cult justifies lying. They say it's okay to lie. If, look, this is how they phrase it. It's okay to lie to people if you get them to join our club. Then that's good. And if you think I'm making it up, then you need to find out about cults. And it should be no wonder, because Satan's the father of lies. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. These are spiritual, invisible entities. Deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy. Wow. When a person is lied to, it's a very damaging thing, because something happens to that victim of that lie inside of them. They maybe even unknowingly tend to trust, or they had trust, but unknowingly they begin to withdraw their trust from either that husband or that wife or that friend or that company or that politician or that group or that pastor or that church or that whoever. So they begin to withdraw their trust. And if they get burned by being lied to, they keep withdrawing that trust until they reach a point, sad to say, that they don't trust anymore. Now, the love of God can break this. But there are far too many relationships in this world where the husband or the wife don't trust each other anymore because they've been lied to. And without Christ, it's probably irreversible. Because trust no longer can be extended, because the lies have caused such a callousness to go over the trust factor. It hardens their heart against the ability to trust again. This is very critical also with children. We sin against ourselves, thirdly in this, we sin against ourselves when we lie. We don't think so. But we often, when we sin against ourselves by lying, it almost has, I think, maybe not almost, but a certain self-judgment built into it. Yeah, I think you know where I'm going with this. When we sin against ourselves in lying, we begin to believe our own propaganda. Lying is a very powerful spiritual evil. Because if a person says something enough, to them it becomes absolutely true, even to the point where they can pass a lie detector, even though the event never happened. What is going on when that takes place? They have deceived themselves. It is extremely dangerous. The ninth commandment, number four, when is it ever right? Listen, when is it ever right to not tell the truth? Listen, did you hear what I said? Young people, listen up. When is it ever right to not tell the truth? This is interesting. I phrased it specifically that I could have phrased it a different way that immediately it would have written something off the hook. But I wrote this point down to be provocative. Exodus 23 verse 1 says, you shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. Exodus 23 verse 7, keep far from false charges and do not kill the innocent or the righteous, for I will not acquit the guilty. So is it ever right to not tell the truth? You know what the Bible says? There is a time when you don't have to tell the truth. It's going to be extremely rare, mind you. Are you ready? Do I have your attention? Sure got quiet in here. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially those of his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So what in the world does that have to do? Number one, to defend life. What? Yeah, this is what I mean. The Bible says if you don't provide for your home, you're worse than a non-believer. I'm not talking money here. If somebody comes into your home to attack your home, to attack your family, and your kids are hiding under the bed, and the man says, if you don't tell me where your kids are at, I'm going to put a bullet in your head. What do you do? It's not even technically a lie. Remember, the definition of a lie is to perjure yourself, is to perjure others. Are you going to tell a man that wants to rape your children and slit your wife's throat? Oh, I and George Washington are the only ones left. I cannot tell a lie. They're in the closet. The Bible says you're worse than an unbeliever. Are you going to tell me that a rapist says, tell me where your daughters are at? Oh, I cannot tell a lie. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah, did you ever think about that? I love this stuff. This is ethics in debate. Because a legalist would say, gosh, you know, you got to tell the truth. Even though that person's a liar, they say, you got to tell the truth. Yeah, my kids are hiding underneath the bed. You're insane. When our forces are captured, God forbid, and interrogated to divulge or disclose the information, are they lying? Next is this, and I'm going to answer it, I hope, with this next verse. Next, when is it ever right to not tell the truth? Believe it or not, to uphold righteousness. You say, how can doing evil, because listen, this is not evil, what I'm about to read to you. And I think you know this. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. And so the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, that they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I did not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up upon the roof, hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Rahab sinning or not sinning? She lying or not lying? She's not lying. She's saving life. She's protecting life. See the difference? That's powerful stuff. You say, well, Pastor, yeah, that's why I've been lying. You know, save life. No, don't think so. You lying to your husband? You've been lying to your wife? Been lying to your kids? Fix that with God now. And the next time you and I are tempted to lie, or we do lie, oh my goodness, the fish was this big. Think about it for a while, okay? And repent of it. You'll be much healthier. You'll be much happier. You'll be free.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at number 9 of the 10 commandments, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It's a pretty hard look into the far-reaching damage that's caused when we commit the transgression of lying. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. It's part of Pastor Jack's topical series on the 10 commandments, as found in Exodus chapter 20, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you listen to Real Radio on a daily basis, which I hope you do, you may have heard our recent special edition on SB 48 and the homosexual agenda in our public schools and history textbooks. You know what, folks? It's time to get involved. First, learn more about SB 48 at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button that says Class Act. Now, this is a bill that's specific to California, but I gotta tell you, it's gonna make a big difference in our country. We've got a special 2-minute video of Pastor Jack regarding SB 48. You can also listen to the April 19th edition of Real Radio. We had an interview with Dr. John Eastman and Gina Gleason, both of whom explained the perverse agenda of SB 48 and how you have the power to stop it. So again, realradioactive.org, and then click on the button on the right that says Class Act. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.